다 치료 강가 다시 델레 소소소 산에 가월 요가 이나였더니 대보도 기보요 이라와 침보요스.
So first of all, to all of my Dharma friends, greetings or tashi dele, in whichever place you find yourselves, I wish that you are well and I pray that you are happy.
아니 다시도 나로서 강가로로 다티니까 달래 돈보와이나 아니 다 코인넬 대요아레 되니 리오 되니 코이 리드니 지레 대요아레 되니 이나요 이나요 소노토도 아니 아니 헬레 지나 소노토도 야고 시소나 아니 코알 데비칼라요 기보 Tani kibo ni kibo chocho tsendili inayi kibo shewa ni shewa kibo nroya u kwa ka mumbo chiyo ares.
So then we could say that generally all of us at the moment, this temporary situation is that we are abiding in samsara. But we need to understand that although we may abide in samsara, although this body abides in samsara, if we develop a different way of thinking, a way of thinking that is relaxed, a way of thinking that is well, then slowly, slowly, we can become happier and happier. Not just happier right now, but happier from lifetime to lifetime in cyclic
existence.
So we should understand too that cultivating these ways of thinking, this doesn't depend upon one's position in life, one's ethnicity, one's name or wealth and so forth. It simply depends upon understanding the way of the mind, how the mind is functioning. And then based on that understanding, from day to day, from month to month, and lifetime to lifetime, we can become happier and happier. So what I will do today, as usual, is I will explain a shloka or a verse. And all of these shlokas or verses that I've been explaining in these teachings, these are like the basis for transforming the mind. And then as we think about them again and again, as we reflect on them again and again, we can come to a better and better understanding. So today, connected with this idea of transforming the mind, connected with this idea of making the mind broader and vaster, I would like to explain something about the bodhicitta rooted in love and compassion. And it explains how, on the basis of this bodhicitta rooted in love and compassion, as one develops a stronger affinity or feeling for it, one's mind can become better and better. So in this sense, perhaps it's a little bit like a business person who has a product, and if they want their product to be attractive, they will explain how this is a good product, that if you purchase the product, it has these benefits, and that with this product, you will be able to do these types of tasks. And then they might take some ads, some advertisements on this, and based upon becoming convinced of the importance of the product, then more and more people will try to make arrangements to buy it, to purchase it. And we can see how these external products, you know, at the very most, they might be able to act as a temporary condition for a temporary sort of happiness. So then we can see that in terms of these external products, until now, if we look at the countries of the world, or at least most of the countries in the world, we see that they think it is based upon securing some sort of external product or external resource that the citizens will be happy. And from constantly striving at these external things as being the source of happiness, we see how many problems and conflicts arise in the world. We could say that these problems and conflicts arise in the world because they are not looking inwards towards the mind, towards understanding that it is through improving the mind that there can be true happiness. So then finally we could say that there is an understanding that these external things or these material things are not the causes of happiness, really according to many people, both scholars and scientists. So understanding that these outer things are not the causes of happiness, they understand that it is something inner that needs to be changed. It is the mind that needs to be transformed. The mind that needs to be trained as a way of securing more and better happiness. So we could say that there are two kinds of happiness, that there are physical happiness and mental happiness, and then another way of dividing them could be in terms of internal happiness and external happiness. And if we look at these different types of happiness, we can see that in fact it is this internal happiness, this happiness of the mind, that is the most important.
So
then in terms of our discussion today, then we are talking about internal things that we need to cultivate within the mind. And we can see that, for example, when we cultivate internal qualities like love and compassion, that the mind is happier. We can see that directly. But in terms of the verse, what it is proposing is that even more powerful than love and compassion, the supreme positive transformative mind is bodhicitta, that is rooted in love and compassion. And through understanding the benefits of bodhicitta, through understanding the advantages of bodhicitta, bringing forth a wish to cultivate it. So this is a little bit like the business person who wants to convince you of the quality of a certain product. In this verse, it is explaining that this unequaled mind of bodhicitta, if you cultivate it, these are the benefits that you will be able to achieve, that these are the profits or advantages that you will come to. But the difference here is that in terms of cultivating bodhicitta, it's different from a material product, because with a material product, the business person is really just thinking of material benefit and the profit that they can make from convincing people of it. But in terms of the great being Shantideva, who composed this verse, and also the other all of the other holy beings, the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, they are not trying to convince us of the importance of this mind to secure any personal profit for themselves. They are trying to outline how important bodhicitta is with the thought of sentient beings being able to reduce their unhappiness and being able to achieve greater and greater happiness. So what is this verse that is explaining the benefits of this mind? The verse goes something like this. So I will read the English translation of the verse Geshe-la recited from Bodhisattva Charyavatara. The moment an awakening mind arises, In those fettered and weak in the prison of cyclic existence, they will be named a child of the Sugatas and will be revered by both humans and gods of the world.
Oh, Shonji Sijichana Kijiki, Kuyitsera Dombi Noto, no. Stanganzo? Oh, let Dombi Kali, you know? Stanganzo had the mustard to see, you know. Ah, Chichin Kuyi Dawal and Gokon and Ganzo Shuoyi, so so.
So Geshe-la is just reading the first two lines of this verse. The moment an awakening mind arises in those fettered and weak in the prison of cyclic existence. So what is this? Why would Shantideva say in those fettered and weak in the prison of cyclic existence? Because there might be people that are seeing this teaching who within samsara they are in a human or in a deva form, and they might think that they are somebody important and somebody proud. But what this line is saying is that even despite your position, you are still within this prison of samsara or cyclic existence. So, you know, don't be too greedy or proud, whatever your position within samsara, because if you are within samsara, the fact is that you are under the control of karma and affliction. And because you are under the control of karma and affliction, you are compelled into action by those, and you are not completely free or independent.
Oh, ta.
So if we really take a look in terms of how we are servants of karma and affliction, we can see that this is very true. Through our own experience, we see that when attachment or anger arise within the mind, that temporarily we are compelled, we are led into actions by them, right? And this means that definitely temporarily we are under their control. And so until we are free of them, we will not be able to be truly independent.
Oh, tadi nikal tadi jiwari tini. Ina yata nganzo lo keso raya leka chimbo kari che jiwaris. Li koro koi li res. Ina yin li lin nipa kandis jiwaris na ta ngaris churi gu sem zoma zon nyawa to. Ande chwa to kontrol jin jawa to ne shomba to niji le gomba she. Nikal ki wo. Tene te shomba to niji kawa chi nyo giris na shio koro ni tzawa chi ne ane senji yuzu gu tindu suji chi gomba chwa gido nyobi shonji setel chi nyo.
So at the moment, as we said, we are in this temporary situation that we are under the control of these afflictions. But what is our potential? What is our potential if we follow the instructions and try to transform that mind? Well, we can see that if we target this biased mind and if we reduce the other afflictions like attachment and aversion and so forth, and then what happens is we develop these positive qualities of love and compassion, and we perfect these positive qualities of love and compassion until we can achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, which is the wish of Bodhicitta.
Oh, tada nyemo bi sem tera jiga marasol ta dewa te te to dea yo arte deji phosu tsupa ji da to ga meba te siwo siwo tada manzo ha ko di was.
We can see that in terms of these afflicted minds, they might lead us to a temporary condition for a very temporary, short-lasting happiness. But in terms of ultimate lasting happiness, we can see that they have never guided us towards that. So therefore, on the basis of really bringing forth our love and compassion and eventually this supreme mind of Bodhicitta, if we really develop a deep feeling and experience of Bodhicitta, the wish for enlightenment for the sake of all beings, then on the basis of this, on the achievement of Bodhicitta, what will happen?
Oh,
So what happens with the person who is able to bring forth this mind of bodhicitta? It doesn't matter sort of what disadvantaged position you are in society, whatever your race is. It doesn't matter what advantages you have, whatever wealth or position. Any person who develops this love and compassion to the point that it becomes the supreme mind of bodhicitta, they will become respected in the world. They will become an object of prostration for both humans and devas, humans and god beings. So this isn't just an empty thing of like, oh, they become important, therefore people prostrate to them because they're respected. What this is showing us is that it is because this person who has brought forth this mind is supremely happy, because they have the power, the ability to lead other beings, both humans, animals, and so forth, to happiness, because they can act as such a tremendous foundation or basis of happiness for others. It is for that reason that they are an object to be prostrated to. So then perhaps some people as beginners are not familiar with the teachings. This term of bodhicitta might be a little bit unfamiliar. Well, then you can just think of really stabilizing your love and compassion and bringing forth a great love and a great compassion. And then on the basis of bringing these forth, also reducing your minds of anger, attachment, and so forth. And if you do this, even without a particular system, what you will find is that on the basis of improving these positive mental qualities within yourself, you will be able to work towards both temporary and ultimate happiness. So then if you want to be happy, if you want your life to go as well as possible, then as much as possible, develop firstly an attitude of contentment with your life, thinking that I have enough to sustain myself. And then with the mind that is open and relaxed in this way, focus on developing your love and compassion more and more, and you will definitely come to great benefit. So then particularly on this very special month, this important month of Asagadawa, which is like the supreme holy month, then whatever amount of time you have left within your life, please try to strive to cultivate in a way that it will make it meaningful and the cause of more and more happiness. So thanks, we shall end here.